0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Is Darragh O'Shea Celtic's big centre-back target? Yanis Hadji is currently in Euro 2024 action for Romania, and Motherwell sign left-back Steve Sneddon. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Mark Wilson.
Yes, Andrew, it seems to be the quietest 2 weeks or couple of weeks, just at the start of July, end of June, start of July, where teams are just beginning to head back to pre-season training, and all of a sudden there's all sorts of rumours about who might be coming, who might be leaving, but nothing really confirmed. There'll be one or two players throughout the division coming in through the door, but I think the big transfers will be saved nearer the end of the window as teams concentrate and getting a good pre-season under the belt.
Yeah, how will the players be feeling at the moment back into pre-season? This is when the hard running starts, isn't
it? Yeah, well, I arrived back from Germany with you guys on early hours on Monday morning. I went back in to see Partick Thistle's pre-season training, got a glimpse of that, and of course we've seen Brian Graham out enjoying himself in Germany, looked after himself because he showed up pretty well in the running. But standing there at the side, I must admit, Andrew, it's not one bit of that I miss. Seeing the players run endlessly, around the pitches and then all the shorter stuff, it is an exhausting time for them. But they've had 4 or 5 weeks off. I don't think anybody enjoys pre-season, but it has to be done. Get the miles in the legs just now, and then the games will come thick and fast, those pre-season friendlies, then the Viaplay Cup games, or is it even called that this season?
Premier
Sports Cup, whatever. They keep changing it every year. And that will come pretty quickly. And then we're right back into the season. So preparation's well underway.
More importantly, have you recovered from Germany?
No. Honestly.
Will you ever recover from Germany?
I was saying this, and I spoke to Daz and spoke to other people. I've just been tired all week. It's been hard to catch up. You know what? People listening will be saying, oh, what a cheek. You get to go to Germany for 12 days and it must have been a holiday, a lad's holiday. It was anything but. It was actually hard work. But it just seems it's taken us an awful long time, too long to catch up. And you know what it was? The lack of sleep. See, when you're sharing a room for 12 days, mate.
With Gordon DL.
And you have to buy earplugs for the snoring. You're getting disrupted sleep for almost 2 weeks. So I've used this week to catch up. Actually, today is the only day that I felt back to myself. So just recovered, just a bit.
Because as much as we joked about the fact that you and Daz were going to be sharing a room and, you know, we were making a big deal about it on the show, you were genuinely both sharing a room for 12 days. Sometimes you would go into the rooms and it was the two beds, as like twin rooms pushed, like twin beds pushed up together as well. I mean, were you in there doing a bit of rearranging, trying to get the beds?
Mate, I'm not joking. We rearranged the full room, every room we went in. Because
I just thought, is it like stepbrothers where you make them into bunk beds so you had more room for activities?
I went and talked because Daz would certainly collapse that within a second. But see, when we were in here and it was revealed to us that we were sharing a room, I thought there was a bit of joke behind that. And then everybody kept going along with the joke and I was like, right, okay, this seems a bit serious. I did think, however, when we got to Munich and we got to the reception, it'd be like, oh, I was only kidding you on. And here you go, here's two keys. I was devastated when they handed us one key and went up and saw the beds together.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get a few more Germany stories as the hour progresses. But we want to hear from you on the football. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on Yanis Hadji, actually, because we've been watching the first half of Romania against Netherlands. He's probably been one of the better performers on the pitch, despite the fact that Romania are 1-0 down to the Netherlands, the second half just starting. But I wonder how you see his future. He's back from his loan spell at Alaves. I think he's still got 2 years left of his contract. Is he a player you'd like to see Philip Clement work with, or is he a player that you feel maybe needs to move on in this transfer window? It looks as if a deal for Moroccan forward Hamza Egamani is close as well. That may well be confirmed in the coming hours. Celtic fans, not been too many links, but there is a big one today. Burnley defender Darragh O'Shea, it is, Republic of Ireland defender. I think he's got 26 caps for them. plays for Burnley in the Premier League, or was playing for Burnley in the Premier League last season. Been relegated since, so I wonder what you make of that and just general targets. Motherwell fans, maybe you're interested in this latest development with the Well Society. We might get into that a bit later on. They've had a signing as well. Left-back Steve Sneddon, easy for me to say, has joined as well. So there is still plenty going on. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. As I say, we have been watching Romania-Netherlands just through in the office. The first half, it wasn't too lively in the opening stages. I think Romania actually looked the better side until the Netherlands scored. A goal from Cody Gakpo cutting in his right. Goalkeeper probably should have done better. Netherlands have been the better side since then. But the one thing from, as we do, twisting into a Scottish football type of thing, Yanis Hadji has been playing and has looked pretty sharp.
Yeah, well, I think our eyes are always attracted to players who play in our league. And Hadji's one that I think, if you aren't a Rangers fan, you kind of forgot about. I had to actually say to you in the office, you know, how long has Hadji got left in his contract at Rangers? And remind me of the story again, what happened last year. And
yeah, because we'll go back to that, because it was the start of last season, essentially, where he was left out of the European squad for the PSV qualifiers, I'm sure it was. There was a bit of a rift with Michael Beale, that Michael Beale maybe just didn't quite fancy him. Yanis Hadji sort of expressed an interest in leaving if he wasn't going to be playing, and then ended up out on loan at Alaves. So Philip Clement's not had a chance to work with him. So you wonder whether it's a case of maybe his heart's already set on leaving Rangers, or maybe he's willing to come back and see what happens under a new manager.
Well, if he's got a couple of years left in his contract, I'll be amazed if Philip Clement does not keep him at the club. Now, whatever happened with Beale, Hadji was coming off the back of a long-term injury. Maybe he just wasn't up to speed or didn't show that he was ready to go into a game of that magnitude. And perhaps, this is me just with my opinion from the outside, perhaps Hadji took the huff of being left out. And sometimes when a player expresses he wants to leave and he signed a long-term contract, then the easiest thing is to go on loan. But you can clearly see he's got his fitness back, and he's shown, certainly in this game that we've been watching, if you're playing the last 16 for a team like Romania and you're showing up well, then you cannot tell me there's many that can better him at Rangers at the minute in terms of creativity. And I thought that was the problem for Rangers, you know, at the tail end of the season. It looked like they'd ran out of ideas a bit. And Cortez, who we were chatting about just before in the studio as well, looked a real good addition. He looked like someone that was going to be really positive and could have supplied the opportunities that guys like Dessers needed, but he obviously dropped out injured. And if you had somebody like Hadji, perhaps he could be the one. Again, I'll be amazed if the Rangers coaching team don't look at this and think, no, he'll be like a new player for us. So I'd expect him to see him back at Ibrox after a break once he gets put out here from the Netherlands.
Because that's, if he's performing well in a high profile game like this, it can only be good news for Rangers, because it means either that they'll feel they're getting, you know, a good player back in for pre-season when Romania eventually get knocked out and he gets a bit of a break, or if they are looking to move him on, then it's maybe the type of thing that they can point to any buying club and say, well, you know, he's performed well at this level, we want X amount of money for him.
Premium price, you know, and that's the thing. I think we really undervalue our players, and that we let our players leave this country for minimum prices a lot of the time. If you take any one of the guys that are on this pitch playing in the last 16, you know, they come with a price tag because of the level they're at, and Hadji should be no different. But again, you have to assess what's in your building at the time, and why would you let a player like Hadji go out your building if you're looking to bring creative players in? You've got one there. Now, the injury obviously took its toll. Whatever happened with Beale, he perhaps wasn't ready at the start of last season, that's fine, but he's had now another season of football. He's had a European Championships under his belt. He would come back raring to go, I'm sure.
Rangers fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on that or anything else. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, what do you make of that news that the club are potentially interested in Dar O'Shea, the Republic of Ireland centre-back at Burnley at the moment? Fans of any other clubs, we want to hear from you as well. 0141 951 1025. Denham is a Celtic fan in Lonehead. Denham, how are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Dan?
All good, all good. What are you making of what's going on at Celtic at the moment? What would you like to see happen?
I'd like to see us make transfers, but at the same time, on the other, the south end, the Rangers signed Conor Barron, isn't that his name?
Yeah, Conor Barron.
And they've got Liam Kelly on I think it's a loan deal or something. And
Liam Kelly signed on a permanent 2-year deal.
And I'd love to see Darren O'Shea come in because he's proved himself as a Premier League starter. I mean, four goal contributions at centre half is quite good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll put that to Mark because it's an interesting link because Darren O'Shea played, I think it was 33 Premier League games last season for Burnley. Burnley spent £7 million to get him in last summer when they got promoted to the Premier League. He was a mainstay in their team. Yes, they got relegated, but you would think it would take quite a bit of money to prize him away from Burnley because he was a key player for them last season. You would expect that it would be the same in the Championship next season. If that is the type of player, the level of player that Celtic are going for, does that show a bit of intent? Maybe show that they are willing to spend a bit of money on that position?
Well, that will only become clear if they actually get the transfer over the line. It was the first thing I thought when I seen the Celtic link with Darren O'Shea. I thought, right, okay, is he out of contract? And then I found out, no, he's not. And they spent £7 million on him. So even though he's been relegated from the Premier League, it's not like one of your teams here dropping into the Championship where finances are at a critical stage and you need to start offloading your higher earners. The parachute payments there mean that you don't need to do any of that. In fact, you can actually strengthen for the year again to go back up. So it's going to take an extraordinary bid from Celtic to prize him away. In terms of the profile, he probably is a good fit. In terms of he's an international player who, like you mentioned, has had a lot of appearances in the Premier League against some of the best players in the world, shown up okay over that period. So it would be a good fit in a position that I think Celtic do need to strengthen. It wasn't good enough last year. The recruitment, Lager Bielka, I try to give him every opportunity and try to cut him a bit of slack. But obviously, Brendan Rodgers just wasn't having him at all. So he'll certainly not be filling that position. Navroski as well. But I still think there might be something there with him, but I just think he needs a clean run of games without any injury or any niggling injuries.
Do I remember Brendan Rodgers saying towards the end of the campaign that he feels Mike Navroski will have a bigger part to play next season? He certainly said it about Anthony Ralston. We mentioned that on the show last night with Roger, but I think he did say at one point about Mike Navroski that he expected him to play a bit more of a part next season.
Well, I can see that in him, and I know a couple of the guys that we have in the show have argued about it, and you know, certain Saturdays that I don't think he's as bad as others make out. Of course, he's had poor games and he's not showed up like the price tag that he was bought for it should, but I think there's potential there. But I still think they need someone else in there. Of course, they've got Welsh in there. The Scales did a great job, but are they going to take you forward? I don't think so. And that's where Celtic fans are. They want players who are going to take them forward. Brendan Rodgers need players who are going to take them forward, not domestically, but on the European stage.
Is that the big area you need to see strengthened, Denham, or is there elsewhere that you think is more of a priority for Celtic?
I'm the striker spot, Adam Eber. Now, I said I'd rather him go for £3.5 million, but I mean, I'd take anything for him now. He's proved that he's a big game player. Was it 8 goals in 14, 15 games? It's incredible that he came in just in January to perform like that.
Yeah, I think he maybe finished on, was it 9-19 overall? Something along those lines, but obviously not all of those were even starts for Adam Eber. Denham's talking about £3.5 million. You'd expect that it would probably be a higher fee than that it would take to get Adam Eber through the door. There's maybe a similar complication, I think, with Adam Eber and Darren O'Shea as well, and the fact that Norwich have just appointed a new manager who may well want to have a look at Adam Eber in pre-season training, decide whether he wants him to be in his squad. Burnley, of course, you know, had Vincent Kompany. He's now gone to Bayern Munich. I don't think have a manager in place yet, so it may well be a case of them having to appoint a new manager and then the new manager assessing the squad and going from there.
It's pretty much how it's going to go. And the problem, from a Celtic point of view with Adam Eber, the loan system works great when you bring in a player and you don't buy him, but he comes and he proves his worth and you think, yeah, we've got a real good player there. He's shown he can handle it here at Celtic and he scores goals. But he goes back to his parent club and his parent club goes, well, okay, that's fine. Here's the price. If you've not got a pre-arranged price before he comes on loan, you leave yourself open to be stung at the end of it. And that's the position I think Celtic have found themselves in. There was all sorts of rumours there was going to be £6 million, run about the £6 million mark. But again, Norwich might just say, well, no, it's going to be more than that. It's, it's how prepared Celtic are to go to the next stage and if they think Ida's worth it. I'm with Denham. I think the job that Ida did was terrific in the game time that he had. I think some of the goals he scored were big goals in big games, telling moments. I think with a striker, that holds weight as well. It's not just, you know, he's scoring at the end of games where it's 3-0 and it's wrapped up and he gets a fourth. He had a big contribution, showed that he could handle pressure as well on his shoulders with some of the penalty kicks and so on. I think he would be a good signing, but the price tag might be more than the 6 million.
The goalkeeping situation, Denham, is that one you're keeping a close eye on at the moment?
Yeah, Martin Dubravka would be a good signing, but I don't know if that, because he's worrying about his own situation, worrying if he's going to be at Newcastle next year or not.
I think I did see if Newcastle signed John Ruddy in the last couple of days, so maybe that might mean there's
at Motherwell.
I think his contract was up at Norwich. It's quite funny though, you see like goalkeepers just kind of pop up at different clubs. They've actually still, I think, to this day got Mark Gillespie. Do you remember he played for Motherwell for maybe a season or two seasons
and ended up getting
a move to Newcastle and he's still there to this day?
I wish I was a goalie.
Third choice goalkeeper
that's it, don't do anything, just sit on the bench, move from Premier League club to Premier League club. Dubravka, I don't know if he'd be a good signing. All I know is his experience, and I think the experience route has worked for Celtic. I think we can all agree on that with Joe Hart, but Joe Hart was an elite goalkeeper, you know, who maybe took a wee dip but certainly came back up to the level at Celtic. They need to fill the position soon, and we're not hearing much about it, but it's one of the most critical positions in the team. You need to get it over the line soon.
Because Roger was saying on the show last night he didn't feel Celtic would go down that route of what they did with Joe Hart, despite the fact they found success with it, of a more experienced, older goalkeeper. He felt that they'd maybe go for someone that's mid to late 20s, someone that they could potentially pay a fee for and then get, you know, either a good few years out of, or maybe still be able to sell for a higher fee. Could you see them going down the Joe Hart route? Again, I suppose it all comes down to who's available, essentially. But, or do you think it'll maybe be more the model that Celtic are used to?
Well, of course I can see them going down that route, because it's been the most recent success. See with the trading model that Celtic have, you can't do it for every position. There's some positions that you've just got to give up in. And I think goalkeeper is an essential one that you really run the risk of bringing in an experienced goalkeeper who can't handle the pressure of playing every week for a big club who need to, you know, gain experience elsewhere. And I think it suits Celtic. They can do that with every other position. But if, you know, the past has shown us that when you don't get that position right, you find yourself in a whole load of trouble. And before you know it, you're rotating between three goalkeepers over the course of a season. So I don't think that's the route Celtic should go down and try and buy this project goalkeeper to sell them on for X amount in 5 years. I would rather see them a tried and tested, experienced goalkeeper, and just take what you get from them, like Joe Hart. If you get 3 years, brilliant. You know, you're not breaking the bank for them, but you're getting reliability and somebody dependable between the sticks.
Well, thank you to Denham Celtic fans. If you've got anything to add to that, give us a call. Rangers fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on what Yanis Hadji is doing in this game for Romania against Netherlands. It's looked pretty sharp. Maybe you've got some thoughts on his future or just general transfer business, and fans of any other club. We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, in the studio on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, brought to you by UK Debt Expert. In the time it takes to play a match, 145 people will have asked them for help with their finances. Their debt-free advice has helped over 250,000 people and counting. So if you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. Check out ukdebtexpert.co.uk. There was a goal in the game between Romania and Netherlands, but it has been ruled out for offside. It was a Cody Gakpo goal. It would have been his second of the game, but ruled out for offside, Mark.
Yeah, I think the right call. I'm loving the automated offsides.
It's,
I think,
good,
it just cuts down in the amount of time, and it's fairly clear. But I think the tournament in itself, I thought it started brilliantly, and I think Gordon Duncan that said the start that there were so many different goal scorers, 30 mm-hmm. different goal scorers, and that was the first time that had happened, and it was great in the opening stages. I think it's went a bit cagey. I know Spain ran away with it the other day, and they looked fantastic against a Georgia team that was just out on their feet. But I think the other games have just, I don't know, just lacked that bit of attacking flair, should we say. You know, they're getting into good positions, teams, but, you know, they're not kind of making the most of the opportunities. So I've got to say, I've seen better Euros in the last game of the group stage and the opening stage of the last 16. So let's hope it'll pick up, but still none the wiser who'll win it.
Yeah, I did enjoy the Portugal game last night. Oh, Memphis Depay's just gone for one of those cheeky free kicks underneath the wall, which is surprising because normally you see the guy lying down behind the wall.
That's
the
became a thing, in the tournament.
But that's one of the only free kicks from that sort of range that I've not seen a team do. It's very close as well, just by the post from Memphis Depay. But the Portugal game last night, I think the commentator was saying it at the time, never watched a game and seen a player so desperate to score a goal than Cristiano Ronaldo. It was the free kick out in the wide position where you're like, surely just get that. It's the perfect position to try and play that into that awkward area between the defence and the goalkeeper. Just get someone to get a touch on it. And the moment he lined up, you just knew he was going
to
shoot.
Yeah, I had to switch off, honestly. 45 minutes, I had enough of it. I mean, Andrew, he's like the kid in the playground who just wants to take everything and score everything. And you think of the great players that are in that team alongside him and what they've won as players and captaining their sides. And they're all like wee kids around him. They just let him take precedence over everything. And it's just becoming a bit, you know, much. The camera's in him, the commentators are like him as much as they are. He's been a fantastic player, one of the best ever. But I just don't like the attention he pulls to himself in situations like that.
I'm also interested in the headgear that they've put on Giannis Hadji because he's got a cut in his head. He got it pretty early on in the game and they've put a sort of netting on the top of his head to hold down the bandage. It looks as if he's sort of serving school dinners or something like that.
He cannot be happy with that. Emptied
a bag of oranges and put
See when you look at Memphis Depay as well, when Memphis Depay's come out with a headband on with a number 10 in it and it's all been pre-arranged, pretty cool, and then Hadji's been given that netting, he's surely got to see his medical team. Look, come up with something a bit more stylish to make me look cool. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, Rangers fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on his performance on the pitch in this game and his Rangers future. 0141 951 1025, or of course any transfer talk from your club. Let's hear from you. David is a Celtic fan in the city centre. David, how are you?
I'm good. How's you, Mark? How's your trip back to the trip?
It was great. Exhausting, David. Not to whinge about it. It was tiring, but what an experience.
I don't think many people are going to feel sorry for you. You got a nice wee 2 week trip out to the Euros, Mark.
You must feel sorry for him being with Daz if I fucking.
Yeah, that's
we are.
Very
thank
good
you,
point,
David. Yes, never easy, you know, as his three wives would testify to that, sharing a room with him isn't easy.
What I'm on about is I'd like to see Celtic go for Kasper Schmeichel. He's been freed by Leicester, he's a free agent, an experienced goalkeeper. Brendan Rodgers knows him. He only needs to pick up the phone to Joe Hart and say he likes it up there.
Yeah, I mean, he's not been at Leicester for a couple of seasons now. He was at Nice after he left Leicester. Nice released him last summer. It's my understanding Celtic actually had a bit of an interest in him last summer as well. He was certainly a player that they were looking at one point, Kasper Schmeichel. So there may well be another link in there. He's at Anderlecht now. I'm not sure whether his Anderlecht contract is up or not. I think he did only sign a one-year deal with Anderlecht. So he looks as if he'll be a free agent, certainly after this tournament. 37 years old, goalkeepers do play on for a long time, Mark. Is that a suggestion you could get on board with?
I quite like that for David. I think that's quite a sensible suggestion. 37, okay, he's probably pushing it a wee bit, but still, if he's kept himself in shape, which you'd like to think he would, then he's been a fantastic goalkeeper throughout the years. The link there, of course, with Brendan Rodgers. Stature that he's got, the experience that he's got, I think that's everything you need in a goalkeeper. And look, if you get maybe a year or 2 years at him, then great. if he does a good job for you. I'll go back to it again. I don't think every player you sign, there's got to be an end goal that brings in money. The end goal should be the performances and what they achieve in terms of trophies they help deliver. And Joe Hart, you've got to say, ticked every box in that. Of course, Celtic didn't get any payback or any sell on from Joe Hart, but what they got was a period of success and stability from a goalkeeper who, of course, made mistakes, but more often than not was there to, you know, to help the team over the line in situations when you really needed them. So, Schmeichel, I think you could do worse than him if he's a free agent.
Celtic haven't come to you for a scouting report. You'll have played against him, I'm sure, back in, what was it, 2006-07 when he was Falkirk.
That's right.
Goalkeeper on loan at Falkirk.
So David will say, pick the phone up to Joe Hart and ask him what it's like up here. He already knows what it's like up here. He had a spell when he was a young goalkeeper.
It was quite a long time ago, in fairness.
Of course, but he'll still know the intensity
of the football.
It means
you know a bit of the landscape,
football. Yeah.
Uh-huh. He will. Because they were a SPL team at the time, Scottish
right.
Premiership team.
So he knows the expectations. He played against Celtic. He'll know how big both clubs are here and what's expected of the fan base. So it wouldn't just be a stranger coming in and thinking, oh, this is a nice little retirement pay. He'll understand that Celtic are playing at the top level. And of course, European football is a massive draw as well. So it'll be interesting to see if that is one that Brendan Rodgers, you know, is interested in, because you said last year it was something that was on the radar. And this year he's a free agent, so you would think things would be easier to get over the line, especially when he's not playing second fiddle to Joe Hart. There's a number one spot there up for grabs.
David, is that the route you want to see Celtic go down? Is it because of what you saw from Joe Hart over the last 3 years that you feel an experienced, tried and tested goalkeeper is the type of player you'd like to see it come in, rather than maybe a younger goalkeeper that isn't proven himself yet?
No, definitely. Well, look at the disaster we had with Barkas. Absolute disaster. I paid £5 million for this guy. I would rather have an experienced goalkeeper. If you've got to pay money, you pay money. If you've got to pay the wages, you pay the wages. But, I mean, Celtic, Joe Hart came up, well, they won eight trophies in 3 years. And to that, but it's a European bit you've got to look at as well. And when we had Barkas, and I mean, people were having shots at him. He couldn't even say anything, nothing. And we paid a lot of money for that boy. So I would rather have an experienced goalkeeper that we had. And if you want to bring in a younger goalkeeper to learn off him and have it, what we've got at Celtic just now, we don't have a number one there. Anybody that I would say, oh, go in there, he'll be our number one when Joe Hart's left. Celtic's got to go out and sign a quality goalkeeper.
David mentions the sort of a younger goalkeeper to come in and can learn off of Kasper Schmeichel, and Scott Bain's there as well. It's probably going to need to happen, because it looks as if Benji Sigrist is leaving. Celtic are probably going to need a third choice goalkeeper on top of that as well. Would that be the right mix? Do you feel you've got your sort of homegrown player in Scott Bain, who seems very happy to play second fiddle or third fiddle if needed? You bring in an experienced goalkeeper, the likes of Kasper Schmeichel that David mentions, and then the third goalkeeper is a young goalkeeper with potential that can maybe go on to fill that number one role. Is that sort of an ideal scenario?
I think that's the model that most clubs have, and it makes sense, because who knows, you might just have a gem in your academy coming through or playing in your B team, that might progress to be something special. So I don't like the fact that the bigger clubs just go out and buy goalkeepers just to sit in your bench or your stand. You should be able to promote as well and show a pathway through. So I'm pretty sure Celtic will have that in check to come through. But yeah, Sigrist away. Bain's always, unfortunately for Bain, he's always going to be a number two. And it is, you know, a glaring big hole in Celtic at the minute, this goalkeeping situation. I think most Celtic fans would have liked to have thought that when Joe Hart announced his retirement, that, you know, the recruitment team had a A, B and C target, and that would have been further down the line than it seems to be just now. Who knows? It might be behind the scenes, but on the face of it, it doesn't look like they're any further forward. But maybe, you know, it's further down the line than we thought, and they're just ready to unveil somebody. But the one thing you would want, Andrew, is to get them in when you're in pre-season. You know, you don't want to be bringing in a player, such a crucial player, when you're so close to the season beginning. So you want them to come in, integrated into the squad, get to know the goalkeeping coach as well, get to know his practices, what he expects from him, get to know the other goalkeepers, a wee bit of experience about the defence you're playing it behind, and then play some games before you go into the real stuff when the league starts.
Well, thank you to David, 0141 951 1025. If you want to get involved, you can also send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Jeff is a Rangers fan up next. Jeff, what have you got for us tonight?
Right, good evening. Good evening, Mark.
Hi, Jeff.
Good to see you back in the studio.
Yep, good to be back.
I watched you three on YouTube during the Euros, during the qualifiers. It was great to see. Right, 2 points. It's good to see Hadji back playing for his national team. He's playing well at the moment. I've sort of put it off because I've got you on my TV just now, watching you on TV.
There we go. I'm glad we're better entertainment than the Euros. It's all right. He's been subbed off now, Jeff. They might have heard what we were saying about what the medical team had done to his head dress, and he's been subbed off.
You're switching the Euros off, Jeff, to watch us sit in the studio.
Right. We are.
Jeff, I'll take that Yanis Hadji point, and then I'll let you go on to your VAR one. Just based on what you'd seen from him, what you've seen previously from Yanis Hadji, is he a player you'd like to see, you know, given a chance under Philip Clement? Whether it's, you know, just running a rule over him in pre-season, is he a player you think could make an impact this season?
Yes, I mean he's been unfortunate with injuries, but I think he's one player that the Rangers manager should give another chance.
Where do you think he would fit into that Rangers team at the moment, Mark? Because Hadji can kind of play off either side, but doesn't really have the pace that maybe Philip Clement would want in a winger. Is it that number 10 role that you think he'd be better suited to?
I've always said about Hadji, I thought he was more suited to the number 10 role. And if that's the way Philip Clement wants to play, if he wants to play with wingers and somebody through the middle, and then he wants to play with two defensive midfielders, that he's got Conor Barron, and I think Conor Barron can dictate games for you and get on the ball and start moves. If you've got a guy further forward like Hadji in that hole, he'll make things happen. But I don't think it's even a case of running the rule over him. If you're playing for your national team in the last 16, and you've already got a history at Rangers, and quite a good history, it was only injury that curtailed his time there, then I really think it's a no-brainer to bring him in. And I hate using the term, it's often used for players who are coming back from injury, you know, long-term injury, that it's like a new player. He would be like a new player, because you are looking for creativity in your squad. You are looking for international class players. You've already got one signed to you. So why would you not start the season with him in your squad?
What was your next point you wanted to make, Jeff?
Right, VAR. I talked to Hugh about it on last week, about the incident with Stuart Armstrong, insinuating the penalty incident. If you watch it, and I keep going on about it with people, if you watch it, the Hungarian player had his arms round his midriff. And what could Armstrong do apart from go to ground? And then there was another incident with the Denmark-England game, the one each game. I mean, you put your foot offside, it creates offside. That was ridiculous. I mean, they should look at the offside rule, the handball rule, and have a proper look at the incidents in the penalty box, because I've got the fear that this is going to get out of hand before it gets better.
We've been over the sort of Stuart Armstrong penalty incident quite a lot. We won't go back to that one. Just Jeff talking about offside. The semi-automated offsides that we've seen in the Euros is certainly looks to be more positive, doesn't it? Premier League are bringing that in from next season. They were using the sort of same offside system that we have in the Scottish Premiership. We're sticking with that for now. I do think it is a bit more expensive to bring it in, so probably a while before we see that in Scotland. Jeff's talking about the positioning of the foot. It's basically any part of your body that, you know, you can score a goal with that is offside. But I suppose seeing the semi-automated thing, that it would be something I think a lot of people would like to see in Scotland, but I can't imagine it's going to be in anytime soon.
Well, it won't be round the corner for us, Andrew, unfortunately. We just don't generate enough cash to afford something like that. I mean, it's taken this long for the English Premier League to get it in, and think of the billions that they make. It's the clearest thing, and it just gives real clarity. It's quick. There is no debating it really, and it's over in a flash. So if we got it, brilliant, but we're not going to get it, so we're stuck with what we've got, unfortunately. Until they change the rule, I don't know if that's what Jeffrey's meaning. It was a, was it Van Basten a couple of years? No, it wasn't Van Basten, was it? Who suggested that it was a full body, or there should be, or was it Wenger?
Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, there should be daylight between the attacker. Unless that happens, then we're always going to argue over these offsides, and that is with our VAR until the semi-automated stuff comes in, which is a long way off for us, unfortunately.
Well, thank you to Jeff. You can call by ringing 01419511025 as Netherlands have just scored a second against Romania. It's Donyell Malin that's got the goal, but what about this? You could be winning a lot of money.
Clyde One. Win £275,000.
Yeah, get ready for this. On Friday, you could receive the best phone call of your life and win £275,000. To get in the draw for your chance to win £275,000, text YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter on our website. Online entries cost £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rio Network competition are on our website. Lines close at 5 o'clock this Friday when we'll make the call. There's no phrase, no amount to remember. You don't have to pick up in five rings. It's that easy. Just answer your phone and you will win £275,000, and even better, it'll be in your bank within an hour of getting the phone call. So for your chance to win £275,000, text YES to 61025 now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to get involved, 0141 951 1025. You may have heard last night that John and Kilmarnock lost out on £1,000 on our pundit predictor with Col Robert after Portugal only drew with Slovenia at 90 minutes. He'd guessed that Portugal would have won it in the 90 minutes. He had another couple of guesses as well, but that was the one that did him in. It means that we go again on Friday night, so make sure to tune in then, because you can have your chance to win £1,000 with Col Robert by guessing some of the weekend's results correctly. Right, let's go back to the phones and speak to Derek Watson, who's a director at the Well Society. There's been a big development today with the Well Society. Derek, first of all, how are you?
Yeah, good, Andrew, yourself?
Yes, good, thank you very much. Can you just give us a bit of a lowdown on what the latest is today?
Yeah, so today, as many Motherwell fans will have seen, and you know, other fans across Scottish football, the Well Society, who's the majority shareholder at Motherwell Football Club, owns over 70% of the football club. We launched our vision for the future, so it's called Our Club, Our Future. Identifies, you know, new targets, new objectives, fresh areas for growth. Basically, what we see is the best way forward for Motherwell Football Club and for growing a fan ownership at Fir Park.
So there's obviously been a lot of talk about external investment recently with Eric and Courtney Barmack. A lot of people knowing, you know, Eric as the Netflix guy has been a lot of the talk. What's the Well Society stance at the moment? It looked as if, you know, there was a name to provide £1.95 million over a six-year period. There was obviously, you know, the deal was structured in a certain way. The Well Society were a big part of that as well. What's the latest with that deal, and how do the Well Society view it?
So, yeah, that deal will go to members to vote on. It was meant to be this week, but it's going to be next Monday. So that'll start as of the 8th of July. There'll be a ballot process. Members will get a vote whether they want to accept or reject Eric Barmack's proposal. At the moment, our board are recommending that our members reject that proposal. We don't think it's right. We don't think it's right in its current form. That's not to say that we are against future investment in the football club, and it's certainly not to say that we are against Eric being involved on a personal level either. You know, we've, as a board, have met with Eric a number of times, and he's a very personable, very nice individual that I'm sure could bring some expertise to the club. It's just in its current form. His proposal isn't a viable option, as we would say. What I would say, though, you know, is this thing that we're putting forward today, you know, this vision for the future, isn't something that we would say it's a choice between Eric's deal or this deal. This is a piece of work that we've been working on since our newly elected board came into place last October. And regardless of, you know, what the future holds in terms of investment, this is something that we feel can drive the football club forward and, you know, really take us to that next level. I'd like to hammer home as well, Andrew, you know, since fan ownership, we've been in Europe six times, we've been runners-up in the league twice, we've been in the top six five times, we've founded our women's team who are competing in the top flight as well, we've won the Youth Cup. You know, it's fan ownership, I think people almost feel that there's a bit of a ceiling with it, but there's no doubt that there's been some bumps in the road, but it's been a very, very successful period for Motherwell Football Club.
What is it that's triggered this fresh start for fan ownership that you guys are proposing? Because, as you say, there have obviously been some very good times at Motherwell over the past few years, with the Well Society heavily involved in that. What is it that's triggered this, and what are you hoping that the club can achieve in the future with this proposal?
I think any custodians of a football club have got a responsibility, you know, to make sure that they're driving that forward and make sure that you're competing with other clubs across the league. It would be very, very silly of us to sit in our hands and do nothing, especially when you know, other clubs across Scotland are getting external investment similarly from America or from local businessmen. And we just want to make sure that we're competitive and you know, that we've got a football club to support. So it's you know, this is a piece of work, as I said, that's been ongoing since we got our newly elected board in October. It would be ongoing regardless of the situation, but I think it's been really, really positive. You know, we've put a lot of time and a lot of energy into this, but it's something that we're confident with, you know, and I'm not surprised that the response so far from members since it's been published has been overwhelmingly positive. You know, we're going to step up engagement with Well Society members and continue to build on that, you know, hugely successful relationship we've got with the majority of our support. But, you know, new targets and objectives will materialise and fresh areas for growth have been identified. So ultimately, the direction of this club will not be driven by, you know, just the people that are on the Welsh Society board like myself. It will be driven by members. It will be driven by our newly appointed executive board and our newly appointed chief executive, Ryan Caldwell, as well.
What would your message be to either Welsh Society members that are listening or Motherwell fans that are interested in getting involved and helping take the club forward?
Go away, have a read at this document. You know, if you've not signed up to the Well Society, this is a great opportunity to do that. For those members that are going to vote, I would say, you know, I want to hammer home again the Well Society board. I'm not against future investment, very much for it, but it has to be the right deal for the club. As the deal stands with Eric Barmack's proposal, we do not believe that's the right deal for the club. But we look forward to engaging with Eric and other future investors going forward. And, you know, from our conversations over the last few months, we know that there's people further down the line that would be more than happy to come forward and help the club both locally and globally as well.
And just finally, on the pitch, how are you feeling about the season ahead, what you've seen so far in the transfer market?
Andrew, we should never go on pre-season results, but we won 8-0 in our last game, so we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves here, and we drew with FC20, so...
I will say the FC20 result looked good. I did see the highlights of that 8-0 game, and the guys
Who was playing Derek in the 8-0 game?
I don't want to be too insulting towards them, but the guys did not look like professional athletes that Motherwell were playing against.
Oh, listen, if I was a Rangers or Celtic fan, I'd be trembling in my boots just now. Motherwell are going for the league this season.
There we go. End it on a high note. Thank you very much to Derek Watson, a director at the Well Society there. I'm sure still plenty to come with that. There's been a goal in at the end of this game between Netherlands and Romania. It was Donny O'Malley grabbed his second. You spotted what I spotted when he cut inside, shot into the bottom corner, and there seemed to be a pair of trainers. Like, not even football boots, a pair of trainers just rolling along the box.
You don't see that as much as you should. That was quite amusing. You know what? Because it was quite you know, unusual. We've seen a pitch invader just moments before. Now, I can only imagine
the pitch invader
has been dragged off, but his shoes have come off. But they're in the penalty area. So the strikers went through. Was it Malin? It went through. He's had to dodge the white trainer in front and slot it past the goalkeeper. So extra points to him for that.
Could you imagine if it had actually taken a nick off of one of the trainers? Pitch invaders accidentally scored the beach ball against Liverpool, but it would have been the shoes of what I'm assuming was the shoes of a pitch invader.
Finish a game and finish a show.
That was quite something. But the Netherlands are 3-0 winners over
Romania. Hadji will be back soon.
Yeah, that means Hadji, of course, will be returning from the Euros. I'm sure he'll probably get a bit of time off before he goes into pre-season training with Rangers. They are heading off soon on their pre-season trip, as are Celtic, a few teams away already. And this is where you want to stay tuned to hear about all the preparations, all the transfers for the upcoming season. I'll be back tomorrow night in the studio with Simon Donnelly. Remember, if you want to catch up on the show, you can listen back wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the whole thing back on YouTube, Facebook or Twitter by searching Clyde One SSB. Jeff even saying earlier on that he was turning off the Euros to watch us. So clearly it must be.
No, don't do that.
Clearly the live must be great. Yeah, oh well. That's, and yeah, stay right there. Callum Gallagher is up next.